Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
People try to put us to death.
Talking about my generation.
Just because we get around.
Talking about my generation.
Things they do look awful.
Talking about my generation.
I hope I die before I get old.
You happy with the commissioners and how they're working with each other? And what would you do to make the esprit de corps between the commissioners better?
Oh, yeah, they get along great. Everything's fine. Wonderful. Fantastic. This is Gene Valentino, emceeing, hosting, moderating, whatever you want to call it. I guess moderating is a preferred term. The District 4 County Commission discussion that took place at Marcus Point Baptist Church recently, put on by the JoJo Finley Road folks. Those are the folks who are worried that they're going to build a giant complex right behind their nice little neighborhood and use two undeveloped lots for an access way, which is, I understand. And they're in District 4, so they do not have a representative right now on the county commission. But yeah, Gene Valentino asked the question, what do you think about how well the commissioners get along right now? Walker Wilson, candidate for District 4.
I know all four of them individually and get along with each of them individually very well. Certainly don't like to see any theatrics played out in the view of the public. And certainly want to be able to bring a level-headedness to the board and make sure that we're staying focused on the job at hand, and that's serving you, the people of this community.
I don't know, a little bit of that played out in public makes for good radio. I'll say this. It doesn't necessarily make for good governance, though. Buck Mitchell?
Yeah, I know all of my – I didn't really know Stephen Berry, but I did have a nice meeting with him. And, you know, local government doesn't have to be so hateful. I mean, I just, it's the one thing that I've got, when I've gotten into this, I was like, you know, because I'm a nice person, and I want, and I said, well, maybe I'm naive, and I'm going to turn out to be not so nice when this is all over, but that's not going to ever happen, because I'm going to be me, and hopefully, you know, when I'm elected, I like to say this, you know, I will bring a breath of fresh air.
Yeah, and, you know, for all of those being, you know, fine enough answers, I got to say, in this category, I think Ashley Hoffberger had the winning answer. You ready? This is amazing.
I don't think anyone's happy with the dynamics on the current board, even the gentlemen who sit on the board right now. I think that we can all agree it's a little chaotic. They need someone to bring the group together, and they need someone that sees the good in people. I mentioned earlier, I own several businesses with my ex-husband. If any of you have an ex-spouse, you know how that can be. If I can make it work with him, I can make it work with anybody. And I am dedicated to being that person that can coordinate the chaos and that can paint a vision to move forward. I think with my business history, I'm more equipped to do that. I have several certifications in team dynamics that I would like to help the Board of County Commissioners with and help us move forward together.
I own businesses with my ex-husband. I can work with a couple of guys that don't all get along with each other. I love, if only she'd have been, you know, said, you know, I don't know if she has kids or how old her kids are, if she does have kids, but you know, what would have been a pleasurable comment for me, but I would not be a diplomatic thing to say. So I have teenage boys. I'll figure it out. That's what my wife would have said. Oh, working with three unruly county commissioners or four unruly county commissioners. I raised three teenage boys. We'll be fine. 7:14 on News Radio Pensacola. They also asked the question about the cost, you know, all of the different costs involved in, like, for example, the attorneys that, you know, bad legal decisions being made by the board.
Any insight you have on what these lawsuits are all about and how much of an impact this is going to have on the citizens of Escambia County and their taxes.
Yeah, because, you know, it's been a lot of lawsuits. They're not winning very often. They're costing the taxpayers or the insurance company money, which is costing the taxpayers in the long run money. And it does seem like we've gotten a lot of involvement in the legal side of things that didn't have to be there, right?
So the impact is $9 million over the last 2 years, and less than half of that was covered by insurance funds. And even when it's covered by insurance funds, you know, we're going to be paying the price for it later on. I don't think we can go against the advice of our legal counsel and expect to win in court. I don't think that's the best practice. I think that too many times we get where the board has gotten caught up and not taken a step back and done what's best for the community. And it's easy for us to sit here and Monday morning quarterback that. But I think we really need to look at who is advising the county commissioners and making sure that if we hired them to be a county attorney, that we put our faith in their legal advice and we follow that legal advice. And we've got to be good stewards of our money from the county.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fair point. Like, is Allison Rogers, is the county attorney, is the county attorney advising the board properly, well, doing that job? You know, I don't think there's any effort by the board to change county attorneys. But, you know, it's one thing to blame the commissioners, and I do. But at some point, it's legal actions, and, you know, you raise the question of, well, who's given the legal guidance, and is she doing enough to tell them, no, you can't do that. That's stupid. Don't do that. You know, like, that's what you really want from an attorney, is somebody who's willing to say that kind of stuff when it needs to be said to them. We'll come back to the other two answers here in just a second. Jimmy's got traffic on the fives.
Well, if you're heading into NAS this morning, traffic is building up on Duncan Road and Whiting Field on Langley Street. We're seeing a lot of traffic building up as well. If you're traveling down North Palafox Street, you can expect to see a lot of traffic in between Tahar and Cervantes. And in Pacer Milton, Woodbine Road and US 90, traffic is building up, so you might want to hop on Guernsey and take Chemukla to get onto US 90. Some slowdown happening on the US 90 bridge into Pensacola, but that is clearing up it's more clear than earlier, I can say that. If you see anything else on the road, please call or text our traffic tip line, 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. Somebody texted in and said one of the problems with the commissioners bickering so much or arguing is that they're in office way too long. They become ultra comfortable in doing and saying anything they want, and it's a problem. I think there's actually a different part of that, too. What I think this person is saying is you get so accustomed to being in the office that you don't feel the need to pretend to be nice anymore. You don't feel the need to be diplomatic anymore, you know? Kind of familiarity breeds contempt. Re-election breeds contempt. I also think there's a problem in that one of the benefits of being around a long time is that you know the history. There's that institutional knowledge, and that means that you're not, you know, you're running things instead of being run by the staff, for example. One of the problems is that when you're in office too long, you know, sort of the list of grievances and wounds and personal bitternesses can kind of accumulate over time, and it's hard to let go of all of that stuff because, you know, when the other commissioner says something, you're still thinking about how they, you know, were mean to you in that vote 6 years ago. I mean, I think that's one of the challenges, too, in having been around a long time. Some people might be better at dealing with that than others. But back to the question of the attorney costs and costs in court and pursuing losing lawsuits and overusing the legal system and costing the taxpayers money. Buck Mitchell.
Not 100% up on all of the legal stuff, so I don't really want to get into it. I do think that we should follow the leadership of our legal counsel, and because they're paid to keep us out of trouble. You know, $9 million is a lot of money, of taxpayers' money that has to be paid out. Certainly, it could have been a lot more if we didn't follow that legal advice.
That's true.
I just think that, you know, we do need to be smarter in the decisions that we're making, and hopefully, if I'm elected, I will bring a fresh breath of air to the commission, and we'll make sure that happens.
He actually said that phrase at least three different times that I heard. It might have been more than that, but it's at least three different times, that breath of fresh air. But yeah, I mean, you pay the lawyers to keep you out of trouble and out of court, not to win your day in court necessarily.
Bottom line is it's going to hurt for a couple years.
This is Walker Wilson.
You know, bottom line is it's going to hurt for a couple years. And $9 million that we spent over 2 years, and that could have been your neighborhood roads repaved. It could have been fixes to local bridges that need to be fixed, stormwater issues, flooding in neighborhoods. That could have been solved with that $9 million. You know, for me, working with the county attorney's office, the goal here is to keep the county out of court, not in it.
Right.
And we need to lean on the advice of the county attorney to make sure that we're getting the right legal advice, and that we're listening to it, and that we're doing everything we can to keep your tax dollars out of the court system and into your neighborhoods. And so that's what you'll have for me.
So there are your three answers. I'm not playing a lot of the comments by Ron Helms just because these are the Republicans in the primary is what's upcoming. And that's the thing that most people are focusing on. So just, you know, to kind of kind of keep it in perspective why I'm not exactly giving him a lot of focal time on the clips. 720 on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. If you're hungry for lunch later, as I would expect you will be on a nice Tuesday like this, Pounders Hawaiian Grill is now open in Pensacola. For years, seriously, for years, my family and I, we would always stop at Pounders in Crestview, and it's so good. Oh, my God. It's, you know, great price for an outstanding meal. And I would go in the back in the kitchen, and I would say, you know, hey, everything was great today. When are you coming to Pensacola? You guys should expand to Pensacola because we would keep you in business with just my family. And they never gave me an answer. But then all of a sudden, hey, they're here. They heard the message and they are here. So, you know, do them a favor and support them. But man, it is such good food. They're closed on Sunday and Monday. They give their employees a break on Sunday and Monday. But right across from the JCPenney or the Academy of Sports in the old Dickies location, University Mall, just outstanding teriyaki chicken, teriyaki steak, Kahlua pig, garlic chicken, and then the sides, the white rice and the macaroni salad are my favorite, but you can get whatever you want. Pounders Hawaiian Grill. It is outstanding.
Veris Health Partners knows there are plenty of options when it comes to insurance. Owners Pam and Keith Giles will help guide you to choose the best plans for you and your family. As a veteran-owned independent health and life agency in Pensacola, their clients range from moms and dads on Medicare to individuals, families, business owners, and veterans who are looking for answers. They are researchers, educators, and advocates who take pride in guiding clients to become smart healthcare shoppers. Contact them at verishp.com. Veris Health Partners.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Are you feeling strong? Isaiah 40:29 indicates that God only gives strength to those that know they're weak. Muhammad Ali, the famous boxing champion, was about to fly on a commercial airplane when the stewardess asked all the passengers to be seated and buckle their seatbelts. Ali said to the stewardess, "Don't you know who I am?" He went on to say, "I'm Superman, and Superman doesn't need a seatbelt." The stewardess replied, "Well, Superman doesn't need a plane either. Now sit down and buckle up." The application for you and me is that we're not as strong as we think we are. I encourage you to recognize your weakness and call upon God humbly to ask Him for a fresh dose of His lasting strength.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Join the Great Southern Restaurant Group, home to the Fish House, Atlas Oyster House, Jackson's, Angelina's, and Five Sisters tomorrow on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 9. They'll be talking about Father's Day, Beer Fest, dinner with strings attached, and other fun things you won't want to miss. That's all on the Pensacola Expert Panel with Great Southern Restaurants.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings before pep talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I love black people!
I love black people!
Morning, 7:23 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Let's go to the newsroom now where David Wayne is eagerly awaiting my call with his headlines. David Wayne, sir.
Well, U.S. veterans that stormed the beaches of Normandy are arriving in France ahead of this week's milestone D-Day anniversary. Crowds have gathered at French airports to cheer the veterans on. Many of them are older than 100 years old now. A potential state law could ban smartphones in California public schools. The bill says there's growing evidence that smartphones interfere with education and can lead to cyberbullying, anxiety, depression, and all sorts of other issues. That law now making its way through the California legislature. And if you stream all your music, Andrew, Spotify is hiking its prices again. The music streaming service announced on Monday that its ad-free premium plan is going up to $12 a month. You remember the days when we'd buy our music and just own it?
Yes.
Those were the days, weren't they?
I'm a fan of own it so that they can't take it away from you. That way, you know, when there's a hurricane and the internet goes out, You own it in your house, and you can play it for as long as you still have power.
Which it's a crazy idea. Not, yeah, just crazy enough to work.
I'm not a. I know Jimmy and Nadia, our intern, who is here in the studio with us this morning as well. I know you don't understand this mindset, but I don't trust the cloud for anything. Period.
I don't understand the mindset of why pay for Spotify when, for the price of Spotify, I can get one album a month.
Very true.
Have you not heard of YouTube? All the music is on YouTube.
Yeah, that's
all the music is on YouTube.
Yeah.
Apparently, you don't own an audio editing software that has recording capabilities.
Yes, I do.
Oh, weird. I thought we understood each other.
Are you
then
advocating for the piracy of music?
David Wayne, thanks so much for the update. Oh no, actually, David.
Yes, sir.
Bring it. Do you remember the guy who was driving in the car during the hearing when his license was suspended?
Oh, yeah.
The hearing about his license being suspended?
Right, yeah. He was on the Zoom call or whatever.
We have an update.
Oh, I can't wait to hear
that. No, the update is actually pretty good. Before that, Jimmy's got traffic on the fives. I got you.
Great.
Twice.
If you were driving eastbound on Brent Lane, you can expect to see some traffic right before the intersection with Palafox, continuing on actually past I-110 intersection there. Heading into NAS on Duncan Road, we can see some traffic building up, as well as the Whiting Field entrance on Langley Street. That traffic is building up as well. Palafox Street in between Tahar and Cervantes, you can expect to see some traffic. Woodbine Road and US 90, that traffic is building up, so it might be time to take Chemukla to get onto US 90. And you can expect to see some traffic on the US 90 bridge into Pensacola. Just a little bit of slowdown and clearing up as you get into Pensacola. And finally, eastbound on 98, we are seeing some traffic building up going into Windhaven Beach right as you pass the Navarre Beach Causeway. If you see anything else on the road, please call or text our traffic tip line 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the five.
Somebody texts in and says, Spotify is for podcasts and audiobooks. To which I say, yeah, but radio is free. just saying. All right. So, David, I teased the resolution to this guy driving on a suspended license being on a Zoom call with the judge about the matter of driving with a suspended license, right?
Right. Very smart. Yeah. Very smart man.
Corey Harris, 44, Michigan. Pittsfield Township, Michigan, by the way. Turns out his driver's license was suspended in 2010 for unpaid child support. Which is kind of an interesting reason to lose your license, but okay. A judge rescinded the suspension in January of 2022. So his license had actually been reinstated by the judge.
Okay.
But the Secretary of State's office in Michigan never received the clearance from the Saginaw Friend of the Court. Saginaw is a city in Michigan. And which tracked down the, it might even be a county also, which tracked down the clerical error. So even though it had been lifted by the judge, it hadn't gotten through to the DMV, so it was actually still suspended per the DMV because the court hadn't communicated with the DMV. So he wasn't actually driving on a suspended license.
So it was all just a big bureaucratic nightmare.
That landed him in jail for 2 days.
Interesting.
Of course it did. And he says, and apparently it's kind of his fault because it wasn't actually reinstated and he should have known that or checked or whatever, apparently. But, you know, so, yeah, he looks a little bit less like just a complete ignoramus.
Now he's a victim.
Now he's
a victim
of
the system. Yes.
That's right. David, thanks so much for the update. 728 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. Speaking of cars, let's just say, driving. Drive with your license only, please. Frontier Motors is a great place to find that next used vehicle, gently used, 1, 2, 3 years old cars that have low miles and are in great condition. That's what they specialize in. In fact, you know, you can go there and, you know, test drive 1, 2, 3, 5, test drive a bunch. Test drive something that's outside of your normal range of what you're thinking about. Like, you know, you want to get a truck, let's say. Okay, try a minivan. I mean, maybe tell you, you know, don't let your friends see you, but try your minivan because that's what we drive. And then see if you don't agree. I'm like, oh, that is kind of nice. And I don't have to climb up so high to get. I mean, I don't know. Maybe you hate it. Maybe you love it. I don't know. Find something that you love. That's the idea. Try something outside of your range. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, right behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. 437-1620. This is the craziest story. I don't know how to make any sense of this because I want to believe that people are basically rational. I know it's probably not true, but I tend to want to believe that people are basically rational and people basically can be relied upon to be not crazy. But here in front of me is a story that Coke is the number one soda by far. It has a 20% share of the drink market. Pepsi is the number two at around 8%. Also at 8%, Dr. Pepper. What is wrong with your taste buds?
You can thank the Southeast United States
no
for that.
No kidding. 8%. Dr. Pepper and Pepsi are now virtually tied for second place in the drink market. That's unfathomable to me.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. Partially closing the asylum processing along the southern border. A move expected today from President Biden.
It would shut down the border once daily encounters hit 2,500, and that it would only reopen once that number declined to 1,500. Also, reportedly, the president is using a section of the Immigration and Nationality Act called 212F to enact it. By the way, the same authority Trump used to ban some Muslim countries.
That's Fox's Griff Jenkins of the White House. Opening statement set for 9 a.m. Eastern in Hunter Biden's federal gun trial.
One who worked for the Secret Service, one whose father was killed by a gun, at least half themselves or have family members who own firearms, at least five have had friends or family affected by drugs.
Fox's Rich Edson in Wilmington, Delaware. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio Pensacola. It is 76 degrees right now, partly cloudy skies in Pensacola. Police are investigating the circumstances behind a car fire in the Cordova Park neighborhood over the weekend. According to the News Journal, that car parked at a home on Hallmark Drive near the home of Escambia County Clerk and Comptroller Pam Childers. The fire started at about 5 o'clock on Saturday morning. PPD says that an arson investigation is ongoing, and also police will be adding more patrols to that area. The family of senior airman Roger Fortson reacting to Friday's news that the Okaloosa County deputy involved in Fortson's death has been fired.
I want justice for my child. You're not going to throw me a bone. Take his credentials, take his pension, let the world know why he resigned and came back. Bring up charges against him. He thought he wasn't going to make it home to his family. Guess what? This one did it.
And that's Fortson's mother. She says his firing is a step forward, but is still calling for Deputy Eddie Duran to face criminal charges in the case. While the Okaloosa Sheriff's Office concluded that Duran's actions were not objectively reasonable, their investigation is separate from the criminal investigation currently being handled by the FDLE and the State Attorney's Office. A 39-year-old man charged in a shooting that reportedly stemmed from an argument over a tree limb. According to jail records, Derek Sewell is charged with attempted homicide. The Escambia Sheriff's Office says that yesterday on Capitol Boulevard, two neighbors were arguing over tree limbs that allegedly led to Sewell shooting his neighbor in the leg. That is audio from Ring camera footage obtained by Channel 3 showing Sewell throwing portions of that limb in his neighbor's direction, followed by the neighbor swinging at Sewell. Sewell then retreats back into the house to retrieve a gun. The victim taken to a hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. There's a new report released by the Alabama Medicaid Agency. It shows more than 195,000 recipients of the low-cost health insurance plan have now been purged from the rolls within the past year. That comes after federal pandemic-era rules that prohibited Medicaid recipients from being removed expired in the spring of 2023. And the Atlantic Ocean, way warmer than normal for this time of year. That's causing some concern for scientists. Professor Brian McNulty says the water's already at a record-setting 90 degrees.
They're warmer now than what they normally would be at the hottest time of year, which is like the last week of July, the first week of August. That's when the water around here reaches a peak on average, and they're already warmer than that.
McNulty says the water temperature will also continue to increase throughout the summer, and that could negatively impact marine life like fish and coral. And also, it could fuel some strong storms and potentially hurricanes. 7:35 at News Radio Pensacola. Jimmy's got our traffic on the fives.
Well, if you are heading eastbound on Brent Lane, you can expect to see some traffic building up right before the intersection of North Palafox Street and continuing on until the intersection with I-10 there. If you're heading into NAS Pensacola this morning, we are still seeing a lot of traffic built up right before you hit the bridge there on Duncan Road. And Whiting Field is still backed up on Langley Street there. If you're coming in from Pacer Milton, you can expect to see a lot of traffic on Woodbine building up right before the US 90 intersection. Backed up traffic to about that Ace Hardware there. So it might be time to start taking Guernsey and getting on Chemukla to get on the US 90. Seeing a little bit of traffic on the US 90 bridge, but clearing up as you get into Pensacola this morning. If you see anything else on the road, please call or text our traffic tip line 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
We are going to be seeing some spotty showers and thunderstorms through the morning and afternoon. 30% chance of rain overall, high near 87 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 75. Spotty rain chances continue for our Wednesday with some thunderstorms possible. 30% chance of rain, high 89 degrees. Overnight Wednesday, temperatures dropping near 74. 60% chance of showers and thunderstorms on Thursday with a high near 88. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And right now, 76 degrees in Pensacola, 74 in Gulf Breeze. It's 75 in Milton. Our next news at 8 o'clock. We have breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio Pensacola.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. The finance chief of the news outlet, The Epoch Times, has been arrested and charged with leading a years-long scheme to launder at least $67 million in illicit funds. Federal prosecutors said the alleged scheme involved cryptocurrency, prepaid debit cards, fraudulently obtained unemployment insurance benefits, and stolen personal identification information. Nike is releasing Girl Dad sneakers ahead of Father's Day in honor of late basketball legend Kobe Bryant, who died in a helicopter crash in 2020. The green sneakers feature black shoelaces, the Nike Swish logo in black, the words Girl Dad on the sneaker tongue, and Kobe Bryant's signature along the side of the shoes. According to Nike's official website, the sneakers are set to be released Friday. Futures are moderately lower. Yesterday, the Dow Industrials lost 115, the NASDAQ up 93, the S&P 500 up 5. That's your money now.
In a world of payroll and HR services, things can get complicated. There are so many moving parts in business. At Avalon HR, we understand, and we have your back. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel as we guide you through the complicated world of payroll and HR services. Running a business is busy work. Allow Avalon HR to work with you. Join us tomorrow on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 10.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Serving overseas was just the beginning. We might be home from war, but our mission continues in communities all across the country. It's why we're out there in times of peace and crisis, providing meals to the hungry and supplies to the sick. It's why we're giving strength to those who are too weak and bringing resources to those without them. Service doesn't stop when we're done serving. It's what makes us the VFW. Learn more at vfw.org.
State Senator Doug Broxson, Florida House Representatives Michelle Salzman, Alex Andrade, Dr. Joel Rudman, and Pat Maney. What do they all have in common? They'll answer your questions live on WSRE's Legislative Review. Simulcast on News Radio Pensacola. Email your questions to info@WSRE.com or message WSRE on Facebook. Then watch WSRE or listen to News Radio Pensacola Monday, June 10th at 7 p.m. for Legislative Review. News Radio Pensacola.
Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 7:39 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. In studio with me here, we have Escambia Sheriff Chip Simmons. Sheriff, we have a lot to talk about. Welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
I'm doing great. Let's start with outside of our county, because I know, you know, we had kind of held off talking much about the Okaloosa Deputy Duran, who shot and killed Robert Fortson, the airman in Okaloosa County, in this apartment case that it's a terrible tragedy all around. the report has now come out, the IAIA report, for the Oakland Sheriff's Office. That's not the FDLE report. So that's not the criminal findings report. But it is the report itself. And, you know, I know you had, you know, kind of waited to say too much about this, which I think is, you know, appropriate respect for fellow sheriff's office and let the process work its way out. But you've obviously seen the body camera video and you have, you know, what do you have to say at this point based on he's been fired for violating policy?
Again, I think that what you'd look at is this is an internal report. And the reason I had held off on commenting about it is because I'm not privy to what the comments that the deputy would have had or some of the circumstances that they would be. But their internal investigation sounds like revealed pretty much what I feel like. It was inappropriate. I don't feel like it was necessary to fire the weapon in that circumstance. So I would support Sheriff Aiden and the conclusion that their internal came back to, and then his decision to go ahead and terminate the deputy. Now, just because the IA was completed and submitted to the sheriff doesn't mean he has to terminate. So he had to make the decision to go ahead and terminate. Again, as you mentioned, that's the not the criminal aspect of the, right. of the investigation. That is their internal, whether policy was violated sort of thing.
So, and also it's important for people to understand that a police officer can violate policy and lose his job, but not wind up being subject to a criminal charge because there are things that might be out of tolerance for policy, but might not also be crimes, correct?
Yeah, there's concurrent investigations. There's a criminal investigation, and then there's a not really a civil, but an internal investigation. Mm-hmm. So you're right. You could have one or the other or both. Mm-hmm. And so in this case, I don't know where the criminal investigation is going to go to because I don't know the circumstances of what the state attorney's office will end up doing with that. But I do support, as I mentioned before, Sheriff Aiden's decision based upon what I saw in the video. That I think would be a violation of our policy as well, and so I would support the action that he took.
I assume the key things are that the gun was pointed down and he didn't have time to react to the command stop, go back up, whatever. It was too quick.
Well, yeah, there are. I would give you this. There are shooting simulations that we do all the time, whether you're in rookie school or you're in continuing training. And almost all of them have some sort of a version where an individual has a gun, but they're not pointing the gun at you. And then you have to decide, shoot and don't shoot. We do that training because we don't want you to shoot when you don't have to shoot. When shooting a firearm is not absolutely necessary. In that situation, again, it's Monday morning quarterbacking, but that's what we do all the time. And that's why how we train, and that's how we get better.
In the report, you know, the interview with the deputy, he talks extensively about how he felt at the time, felt scared, felt concerned for his life. And he's got a long history in being a cop and also being in the military prior to all of this. And again, as you said, FDLE has not concluded their investigation, nor has Ginger Bowden announced, and certainly she wouldn't until after FDLE, whether charges will be pressed. But did you see a crime committed, in your opinion?
Again, I think I'd hold off on whether I see a crime because I haven't read a report. I've seen the reports of the internal investigation. Again, just because it's an internal violation does not necessarily mean that there's a crime committed. A lot of times a crime needs – well, not a lot of times. Every time a crime needs intent. Mm-hmm. You need to make a determination whether that individual intended to commit a crime. You can't unintentionally commit a crime. And I think that's what they're going to have to weigh. And I would imagine that decision will take some time still, the state attorney's office after they get the report from the Florida Department of Law Enforcement, and not being privy to that report from the FDLE, and not reading word for word the IA. I think it would be bad form for me to comment about that.
So turning now to Escambia County, where we have unfortunately had no lack of things to talk about here in the past week. Let's start with this. The Ring camera that we've all seen where the man sees some neighbors putting branches on his side of the fence, goes out, scolds them, and then, you know, I'm gonna play it for you because it's just, we haven't played it yet on the show, and it is worth at least hearing the incident as it panned out. So this was the shooting preliminary. Jimmy, turn my computer on over there for a second. Okay, here we go.
Being an actual resident.
Oops, sorry, this is not the one. There we go. What's going on there, bro? It's on your side.
It's on him. Frank, come on. All right, let's go.
There's some scuffling.
All right. You want to hit me? And you got some soft-ass hit.
So he's got a soft hit. He says he's complaining. You know, he's scolding him after he got hit and punched. And he comes back in the house. At which point?
Well, my understanding is that he left that scuffle and he went into his house. He retreated to his house, mm-hmm. picked up a firearm, and then came outside and shot the 70-something-year-old. I couldn't hear what you were listening right. to, so I can't refer to that. But I can tell you that we felt like he did not need to go to his house and get a gun and bring it out to the fight. Again, we talk a lot about reasonableness and whether at the time of drawing the weapon and firing the weapon, if he felt like his life was in danger, he went to get the gun and then brought it back to the fight. And right. it's to me, the whole thing is ridiculous. You can't have a conversation that even leads to an argument with a neighbor without escalating into this sort of thing. So.
And it's, you know, I know some people might have the idea, well, you know, if it's on his property, isn't he standing his ground? Well, he ran away and came back. That's not stand your ground. That's yield your ground and return to the ground and escalate the conflict.
You escalate, right. You brought a weapon to a shoving match, basically.
Right.
And no, that's not cool.
When you were completely separated from it for a time.
You had an opportunity. You could have walked away.
You could have stayed in your gun.
Yeah. I mean, you could have stayed in your home.
Right.
And not picked up the gun and brought it back out. So that's our scenario.
We're talking to Sheriff Chip Simmons. Of course, the Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons. We'll return to him in just a second. Jimmy's got traffic on the fives.
If you are coming into Pensacola from Pace or Milton, you can expect to see some traffic built up on Woodbine Drive right before the US 90 intersection and on Chemukla and US 90. And some traffic slowing down on US 90 Bridge as you come into Pensacola this morning, but clearing up as you enter Pensacola. If you are driving eastbound on Brent Lane, Beverly Parkway, rather, you can see some traffic built up right before the Palafox intersection, continuing on with the I-10 intersection there. If you see anything else on the road, please call or text our traffic tip line, 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. Back to Escambia Sheriff Chip Simmons. We had a shooting on Montclair, and you're looking for a 16-year-old woman just for questioning. Is that right?
Well, the shooting involved, the victim was a 16-year-old female, and we're looking for two people, actually, for questioning. Let me get their names here real quick. We're looking for, here we go. Michael Sean Fulater, F-U-L-A-T-E-R, and also Glenn Allen James III. Both of their pictures are on our social media platform, our Facebook page. You can take a look at them. We are looking for them in connection to this homicide, this 16-year-old girl.
Yeah, and they're wanted only for questioning in this particular case, but this is, you know, 16-year-olds shooting at each other. It's pretty concerning on Montclair Road, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely concerning. I wanted one more name also. We're looking for three people. All right, so we're looking for Michael Fulater, looking for Zane Cole Cook, and we're looking for Glenn Allen James, as I just mentioned. So we believe that they have information that, regarding this homicide, either they were there or they have information. So if you know where we can find these three individuals, please give us a call. We do consider, I wouldn't approach them yourself. We ask that you would contact us and let us do the approaching for you. Again, I want to mention their names again. They're pictures. They look like all three young white males, Glenn James, Zane Cook, and Michael Fulater. If you know them, please tell them to contact us. And if you know where they are, please contact us because we want to have a word.
Yeah. In the category of traffic stop leads to all kinds of things, you had a traffic stop that led to methamphetamines, ammunition, a bunch of stuff, right?
Yeah, I believe this is one where she didn't have a tag on the car, and she's running around. This is she being 35-year-old Ashley Carter, who happens to be a convicted felon, riding around in the area of 9 Mile in Bridalwood. We found 115 grams of meth, 31 grams of fentanyl, some ammunition, some drug paraphernalia, and we ended up charging her with trafficking in the methamphetamine and trafficking in fentanyl, and all this other sort of stuff that's associated with driving with a bunch of bad stuff.
And driving around without a tag, and so.
Yeah, you know, I'm not sure why you'd run without a tag anyway, and especially not while you've got trafficking amounts of methamphetamine and fentanyl. So she went to jail, she took the ride, and hopefully she stays here for a little while.
I think it's a conversation we might have had with Mike Wood last week about how, you know, you would think if you were engaged in criminal activity, you would sort of drive the speed limit, stop at the stop sign, and have a tag. But we're glad they don't.
I thank God every day for stupid criminals. and you know, giving themselves up basically.
I thought it was interesting. She did not have a hand. She did not have an actual firearm, but possession of ammunition is a violation, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. And I don't think her thought processes were the best.
I gotcha.
Again, so,
we also, and this is just again in the horrible things you all have to deal with. There was a domestic violence homicide yesterday, not of like you think tend to think of this as in, you know, man and wife kind of thing, but this is pretty bad, right?
Yeah, a son. We ended up arresting a son for the murder of his father. This happened. We had a busy day yesterday, but this happened probably overnight Sunday. An air conditioning crew, they were scheduled to go to the house. They went to the house. The door was ajar. They went inside and found a male deceased from gunshot wounds. Gave us a call. Our investigators, again, doing a jam-up job. Backtracked, did some obviously investigating research, and discovered that the son committed the crime, ended up charging him with a homicide.
Do you know ages on the victim or the...
I believe the victim was in his 50s, and the suspect is in his 20s.
Young 20s.
Yeah, I had that with me.
And do we know anything else about motive or...
Well, it looks like the motive looks like money. Again, it's going to be associated with the failure to give him enough money.
And did you say a location or a rough vicinity? I don't
know.
I
think it was on the west side. I don't have the address with me. All right. Right now it's on the west side. Oak Knoll, I believe, is the name of the road.
And one of the things that had come up, it was kind of in the news right after we talked last week, but the installation of new cameras on the boardwalk out on Pensacola Beach, something that I guess your office is either doing or redoing or something.
Yeah, we're all of that. We're okay. we did the Real Time Crime Center about 8 months ago. We went up on that. And the thought there is that we would integrate all the outside cameras in public space into our Real Time Crime Center. And as I started looking around at different locations where we could get cameras, I'm also looking for different funding sources as well, because we don't have the budget for all this. And we think that this is a game changer. This technology is a game changer for law enforcement. We use this real-time crime center every single event, every major crime that we have, including the ones that we had yesterday, including the murder on Montclair. So when I looked at it, I thought, you know, if we could get a couple more cameras on Pensacola Beach, we could have basically the whole public area of Pensacola Beach covered. And while there's very few crimes reported on Pensacola Beach, we want to keep it that way.
Right.
Pensacola Beach is a jewel for Escambia County.
It had been a problem a few years back with the frays and drinking.
Right.
And
the parking lots. And people were acting a fool there for a couple years ago. And I thought, why don't we just get these cameras? And we approached the Island Authority, had a meeting with them, a very good meeting. And they said, you know what, we'll help you. Let's start with a boardwalk area. And then maybe we'll talk about the Casino Beach area secondarily. I said, okay, so we decided that, and they decided that they would help fund 7 locations with 28 total cameras on basically the entire area of the boardwalk. Now, we've already installed cameras on our precinct, which is in one end of the Casino Beach parking lot, and there are other cameras on there, but we wanted to upgrade all these cameras and make sure that we have a coverage of the entire area in Pensacola Beach. And my thought is, if you're not committing a crime, why are you worried about cameras in the parking lot? In fact, if I'm going to drive a car, I want you to have cameras so no one breaks into my car. And again, if you're coming to Pensacola Beach and you're gonna, you know, vacation here, and you're aware of the proactive nature of the Escambia County Sheriff's Office and the Island Authority and those with money, I think that it's a good thing.
I personally, when I pull into a store, I think about it. You know, if I pull into a store and I got to park my car, especially if it's at night, I always think, hey, do they have cameras? Great. If they don't, dang it.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you're a little more
because I know that the thieves are going to pay attention to that. And, you know, at least there's some level of either deterrence or apprehendability on the back end if there's cameras around. So, you know, I'm a fan generally.
Well, you walk into a bank, you know you're going to be on camera.
Right.
You walk into a store, you know you're going to be on some sort of camera. You could go visit a big city like New York City. They have cameras everywhere.
Right.
And all big cities have these cameras. And I think that we're kind of behind the times, but we're really making a lot of ground up with regards to what we're doing with our technology and our real-time crime center.
Last thing I wanted to ask you about, somebody had brought it up to me after the show last week, had asked, do you train people in firearms? Because we had talked quite a bit about that. And the answer is yes, and the first class already sold out first day, yesterday.
Well, we got a state grant. There was money appropriated through the legislature last year to allow sheriff's office to put on, I think it's associated whenever they did this constitutional carry legislation. And we took advantage of that, and we had our first one. We're having it on June the 15th. However, it did fill up. Space is limited, as you can imagine, mm-hmm. to our range. So it's already filled up, but we will have at least one more, maybe two more. These coming up depends on,
on the funding.
We should have the funding for one or two more.
Oh, okay.
But it depends on how much capacity we can fill up. And with this first one, it's the first one that we've done in many years. But yeah, our thought is that we could help people and let you know train them a little bit about the knowledge about the weapons that they have.
Very good. Escambia Sheriff Chip Simmons, as always, sir, thanks for, when you're busy, it's, we wish you didn't have to be, but we're glad that you are and that your folks do such a good job investigating to resolve these crimes and prevent them, and for the time and the information this morning, sir. We'll talk to you next week.
You bet. Y'all take care.
Jimmy's got traffic on the fives. Jimmy?
If you are heading westbound on 98, you can expect to see a lot of traffic built up right before the Naval Live Oaks Nature Preserve, clearing up as you pass the park this morning. Seeing in Pensacola on Brent Lane, traffic backing up right before you hit Palafox heading eastbound, continuing on to the I-110 intersection. And the Garden Street exit from I-110 is backed up significantly, so expect some delays when you're traveling downtown this morning. Most of the intersections downtown looking backed up, 9th Avenue and Cervantes, 9th Avenue and Gregory, and 9th and Chase and Bayfront Parkway all looking very backed up. So drive with caution this morning downtown Pensacola. If you see anything else on the road, please call or text our traffic tip line 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the...
The Pensacola Little Theater presents the pop cultural phenomenon Rent from June 7th through the 23rd. See this stage spectacular with songs that rock and a story that resonates with audiences of all ages. Rent follows a year in the life of a group of impoverished young artists and musicians struggling to survive and create in New York's Lower East Side. See how these young bohemians negotiate their dreams, loves, and conflicts in this groundbreaking musical. Tickets are available at the PLT box office or at PensacolaLittleTheater.com.
Stewart with the University of West Florida. Since 1969, UWF has offered graduate programs to provide expanded education and training for professionals in Northwest Florida. Join members of the UWF Graduate School on the Pensacola Expert Panel as they discuss graduate programs at UWF and the resources provided to prospective students. That's Thursday at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3.
You're a storyteller, negotiator, artist, innovator. Whatever your passion, whatever your skills, behind the scenes or in front, you belong here. A career in broadcast media. Local radio and TV stations in every town and city need someone like you. So do what you love and bring your talent to life. Your passion, your skills, your career. You belong here. Learn more at youbelonghere.media.
Guy Benson, keeping you informed of the news every day at 2, right after Mark Lee Van Camp and Robbins on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Wake up and smell the coffee.
All right, we're going to play a little game of Make Us Feel Old, Jimmy. You ready?
Oh, Susan,
you recognize sure. that voice?
John Fogerty?
Not that voice.
Look at my hat.
The other voice.
I'm wearing a Creedence hat.
Oh, you are wearing a Creedence hat. Not that one. The one before that. The wake up and smell the coffee.
No.
Let me give you one more chance. You ready?
Yeah. Wake up and smell the coffee.
Oh, is that Jimmy Stewart?
David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with
Who is it?
With our headlines. Go ahead. Go ahead. Save me.
Well, two University of Texas professors are suing over President Biden's expansion of Title IX rules on campus. Professors Daniel Bonavac and John Hatfield said last month they would not excuse class absences for students who get abortions and also won't honor students' requests to be referred to by the pronoun they. The professors are plaintiffs in a federal lawsuit filed by Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton. And the Kilauea volcano in Hawaii is erupting. It's been experiencing an uptick in seismic activity now, and this is the first time an eruption has happened there since 1974.
Thanks so much, David. All right, one more chance, Jimmy. Here's... Not Jimmy.
Johnny.
There you go.
That was Johnny Carson,
huh? Yeah. All right. It's buried deep in there somewhere. Feel better now.
Local news every hour and breaking news when it matters most. News Radio 92.3 WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.